Hello and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we're talking to Keegan Luders, who has a unique concept called teamership, and there's also a book attached to that that you can find out more about. It's an amazing concept that basically utilizes how can I be the best team player for a business. It's a concept he invented, so listen to this podcast and find out more and click on the links to find out more about Keegan and the concept. Otherwise, enjoy and have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. As you may be able to tell from the title of this podcast, we do have a guest, and we'll get to them shortly. But first, let's jump in and see how our team's going. Before I jump in, I'd also recommend people jump onto Spotify. You can watch the video version of this so you can see the different locations we're all in. Everyone's got an interesting background, so we'll tap in and see how everyone's going and where they are. So, Danette, we'll start with you. Where are you and how's your week been?
So, Jez, at the farm near Gundagai in New South Wales, had a lovely week. So Graham and I spent last weekend, long weekend in Tassie in Hobart, which was magnificent. Come back here. Today, we've had an interesting morning. The fox chased two of our chickens, managed to get them but didn't kill them. So they're locked up. The other birds are in the tree. And we're going to keep them locked up for a little while, the poor darlings. But that was my running, John, in the outside with the fog, because there was fog. So it's come in with the fog. But anyway, they're okay, which is beautiful. We're very grateful for that.
That's lucky.
Yes.
Well, that's good, though, that they're safe. Good yes. Thinking. Survived that one. That fox is really a bit of a pesky one. For people that want to learn more about the fox story, listen to previous episodes. It's an ongoing saga.
Yes.
John, I'll go to you. John, where are you and how's your week going?
I'm at work, Jess. I'm good, thank you. Hello to everyone at work in Canberra, where it was minus one this morning when we got up at 5:30 and went running. So it felt like minus three. It was bloody cold. Good week. Back face-to-face teaching, did some teaching on Tuesday in the classroom, which was fantastic. It was so good to be back into that. But the rest of the week, I've got no idea what happened or where it went, but something happened and I'm here now.
Fair enough. We've definitely had those weeks before, John. So it's good that you're here at least. At least we've coordinated you for this podcast. So good
Absolutely.
To see you. That's it. Graham, whereabouts are you and how's your week been?
I have no idea where I am, Jess. Come on. It's Friday. I'm also at home on the farm with Jeanette. We are in separate rooms because there is a just a little restraining order thing. And no, that's not true. Before people write in outraged. I'm good. I had a great week. This morning has been interesting. So just a quick shout out to the chief scientist at CSIRO, because I know that she will be listening and or watching. Can you please do something about the fox thing, please? Just like nationally, that'd be awesome. Thank you very much. Love your work.
We'll get that one onto them. It's a, you know, it's a important part of the ML podcast, you know, and so if they could help fix that, that would be great. Absolutely. Alan, how's your week been and where are you recording from today?
I've got a great contrast today, Jez. I'm on the sunny Gold Coast and I've been chauffeur driven around today, not to the fun parks, but there is a little bit of adrenaline going through my system. I'm helping L-platers get their 100 hours of driving with the PCYC, which is something that I'm really enjoying doing.
That's awesome. And people will be able to enjoy on the video version your recording studio today, which is the passenger seat there, is it?
Indeed.
Yep, awesome. Well, great. Thanks for calling in, Al. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Yeah. You should let everyone know how your week's been and where you're coming in from.
Yeah, sure. My week's been pretty good. I've got a stand-up thing this weekend for a climate event. So I've just been practicing that. So I did some stand-up over the weekend. I was at a gong show, you know, where if you're bad, you get gonged off. And I didn't get gonged off. So that's a good bit of a warm-up there. And then other than that, it's just been Melbourne has decided to really hit us with the cold snap that everyone's getting, except for Al, you know. So, yeah, just been trying to stay warm. So I had the heater running this morning so I could wear a T-shirt for this event. So it's good. And Keegan, tell us, first of all, where are you broadcasting from and how's your week been?
I am joining you from my glass case of emotion here in North Sydney. My week has been really good. I've had a little bit more space in my calendar than normal, and I feel like I've made good use of it, which is not always what I do when I have spare time. But I've been able to get my eyes up, look, you know, get a few things ticked off that have been on the back burner for a bit, because never managed to get to the top of the list, and sort of feel like I'm setting up for a good little period ahead. So I'm pretty excited and energized by all of that.
Awesome. That's good news, Keegan, because whenever I usually get open schedules, it's straight into finishing the Netflix binge that I was up to. So it's a good thing that you're effective there with your time.
Yeah, I'm more normally like that, but I have something happened this week. I'm not sure. I'm happy. Happy dude.
Well, that's great. I think then we've got you on a great week then. So, Keegan, before we get into the topic today, which is a really exciting one, really interesting one, for people that may be being introduced to you for the first time, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Jez. I run my own practice, and that practice is centered around the conversation that we'll have today, but it's basically around how do leaders, teams, and individuals work better together. That's this idea of teamership that we'll talk about as we go. And I'm based in Sydney, but work with clients all around the country, a couple of in New Zealand, and done some work a little bit further afield occasionally as well. And the main way that I work with people is sort of either sort of leaders trying to figure out how do they support their teams a bit better, or with teams to go, well, how do we actually as a team work better? And the path that I got to this was kind of really interesting. My background is pretty diverse and a little bit meandering when I look back at it, but it kind of all feels like it was heading in this direction in reverse, like when I look back at it. So out of school, I did exercise and sports science because I love sport. And even that stuff still sits with me, this idea of, well, how are we trying to get performance out of people? What does it take to get the performance that we need? And so I still use a lot of those kind of principles and ways of seeing the world in the work that I do now. I've done a little bit of teaching. I've done some work in, you know, some not-for-profits, in corporate roles, but there's always been this kind of theme of people and performance and learning. And that's all the stuff that I'm bringing in here. And a probably pretty pivotal part of the process was me doing my Masters of Business Coaching at Sydney Business School. And that really kind of helped a lot of things make sense of the way my experience and the way I wanted to kind of be able to work with people was through, I don't do a whole bunch of individual coaching, but the principles of coaching I just found really, really helpful around how I turn up. And I notice myself coaching everywhere I go. I coach my daughter, not, you know, just when I'm having conversations, I coach doctors, like not professionally, but you know, when we're going through something, I'm notice myself doing lots of that sort of stuff. And so that idea of I liked turning up with the principles of coaching in mind. And so that stuff comes through and it's really exciting. I love being able to do that with the clients that I work with, whether we're in one-on-one conversations, whether we're in workshops or even sort of presentations that I'm giving. I like it to be lots of questions that I give you. I write a blog every week and I try and leave questions at the end for you to consider, because I think there's a lot of value in that. So when I ask questions to your questions today, that's where that's probably coming from.
Awesome. That's great, Keegan. And it sets up what a great conversation. So you sent through a topic that I thought was really interesting, which was teamership. So do you want to explain what that is for people? Because that might be a new term. And then tell us a little bit about how you came up with it, I guess.
Yeah, probably is a new term. I think I made the word up. I was on a conversation with a client and I was sort of just talking and about this idea that, well, we talk about leadership and leadership's really important, but we don't really talk to people about how to be a good team member. You know, like we don't do teamership stuff. I'm like, oh, and that just sort of emerged in the conversation around this idea. And from that little kernel of that conversation, I've done a lot of work around what it means, you know, and what it is, and I've sort of come up with a definition for myself, which is, you know, this the ability of an individual to contribute to collective performance. And the more I was sort of diving into it, it was kind of really One of the things that I've realized is that what people need to be a good team member in modern current organizations is different to what it used to be. And a lot of that is particularly driven by the fact that people are on multiple teams. So people are on so many different teams so that you can't just feel like your job is to turn up and do what your boss asks you to do all of the time and just be kind of, moving from being like a really good order taker. You just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And that's shifted and that's changed. And a lot of that has come to do because of how organizations are now structured and operating for good reason. They're trying to shift away from being on just sort of, pure silos. You know, you hear it all the time about people operating in silos and trying to avoid that. And so all of that has sort of driven this work that I've done, and I love it. I love this idea. I think that, I love, probably come up in the conversation. I love one of the things that has been a big part of my life is, ever since I was a little kid, I played cricket. And I played with and against some really good cricketers along the way. But one of the things that cricket teaches you from a very young age is to be part of a team and what it takes to be a really good team member. But you're also probably more individually accountable from a younger age in that sport than I think many other team sports. And so like, how many runs did you score? How many catches did you take? How many, all of those stuff gets captured in a way that's different to, if you're playing soccer or netball. You maybe if you score a goal, doesn't matter, but like no one's really counting how many passes did you make and how far did you run. Like at elite level, sure, but not from the time you're 5-6. And so this balance of individually knowing what my contribution to the team is, and then but also needing to keep the overall objective in mind. There's not not the goal is not for me to score the most runs, but we lose. The goal is to score, do things that help us to win. And whatever that looks like, that could be, I could do that with fielding. I could do that with running between the wickets. I could do that with my batting. There's so many ways that I could do that. And so I think that that's probably something, as I've been reflecting, that's one of the things that's really, really influenced where some of this stuff has come from for me. And so, in response, that's what teamership is. Teamership is the ability of an individual to contribute to collective performance. And I'm really interested in supporting conversations around it because I think that there's not enough conversations specifically and explicitly around it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I love that. And it's really exciting to have a new concept that, we're breaking down with you. So we have a lot of great questions here. And I might just start with Danette then. Danette, what was your question? And tell us a bit about why you chose it.
Love the topic. And I think it's a really important one in terms of conversations, because you're right. It often gets focused at the leadership, or it's sort of like at the individual, but the teams and what we can contribute is awesome. So my question is, what sorts of structures help support great teamership, and why do those structures actually help to support them? And it was really because I think sometimes the structures, as you said, the silos can create chaos with teams and stuff like that. So over to you, Keegan.
Thanks, Danette. I think there's a couple ways that I could answer this, and maybe I will answer this in two different ways. I think it's a really important and valuable question. And so one of the things that has come to me over the last few years that's been really helpful around how I think about people operating is this idea that behavior is the function of the person and their environment. And a mate of mine who's doing his PhD pointed out that, if behavioral economics, I ran into it through, looking into behavioral economics, but my mate pointed out it went back to Kurt Lewin in the 1930s. So it's been around for a while, this idea that behavior is a function of the person and their environment. And so most of the time, I reckon we over-index the person and under-index the environment. So I love this idea of what are the structures, what's the environment that we can create that helps people to do the behaviors that we want. And so I'll answer that in two different ways. And so if we think about any one individual in an organization, how can we increase the likelihood that they will try and be a good contributor across all the teams that they're a part of? I think there's three sort of part to that. So firstly is connected leadership teams. So senior leadership teams that are connected to each other, firstly, connected to the strategy, the vision, the purpose, the intent of the business, and then connected throughout the business so that they don't operate as a silo, because it's really, really hard. You know, we know that senior leadership teams have a disproportionate influence on the culture and the environment that's there. So if those leadership teams are role modeling, demonstrating, supporting some of those behaviors, that makes it more likely. That's the first thing. The second thing is dynamic leaders. So leaders who don't lead through policies, process, and tick, 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 and they're a bit more dynamic. They go, okay, so how do they respond to the needs of the people, the teams, and all that sort of thing? So that helps an individual to be more likely to contribute if there's sort of some flexibility in the leadership. And then being around other energized individuals, right? Like being like, it's really interesting. Did some research and came across like all of this energy feels a bit like an out there concept. And so I looked into some research, and it was like this idea of positive relational energy. So the interaction, you and I have an interaction, and because you're so wonderful, I feel positive on the other side of it. And that's positive relational energy, and the impact that that has on things like learning, on resilience, resourcefulness, in performance, it's just massive. It's huge. And so just being around other people like that can be helpful. So those are the structures that would be sort of at a high level. I think those are the structures that if we plonked any individual in that environment, they're more likely to do these things that, you know, would help all of their teams to be better. Another way that I've sort of stumbled across, so that's kind of high, and this is probably a bit more tactical. So something that someone listening could do these things is kind of make sure you have three types of conversations. We spoke about conversations now, but three types of conversations. So they are whips, hips, and tips. And so most teams and, you know, are really good at the whips, right? So they are really good at the work in progress. What do you got to do? What's going on? You know, like where are we at with this project and all that sort of thing? Really important, you know, because we got to get work done. We got to deliver for our stakeholders, for our clients, all that sort of stuff. So the whips. Your team just beautifully demonstrated a hips conversation, which is humans in progress. So Jez's question was like, where are you? How's your week been? Like something like that, that is not transactional. It's not about, oh, you know, where's this project at? What are you doing? What's going on? Like that hips is a really important conversation to have to help people feel connected. Because when we feel like we're a human and not a resource in the team, we turn up differently. So being able to actually have those conversations, like, how are you? What's going on in your world? And, you know, Jez and the team, your team demonstrated that beautifully, man, I thought. And the third, so that's the whips, the hips, and then the third one is the tips, like the team in progress. Like, how are we going? How are we interacting? Because it's possible that we're all doing okay, but collectively we're not really working very well together. So having those three and just getting the mix of those conversations, most people I speak to, really good on the whips, less so on the hips and the tips. And so those are some of the structures to build those into your week or into your month, whatever your cadence is, and play around with the cadence that works for you. But getting those three structures in, most people don't need to, more on the whips, but those three kind of things I think can be really helpful as well. Does that
was answer the an question? Awesome answer.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, loved it as well. Some great takeaways from that. And I definitely am fully on board with the people give off energy, like maybe not in a fully woo-woo way, but you can totally feel if you've been around someone that's sucking the energy out of you. Alan, I'll throw to you. Oh, sorry, go Keegan.
I don't know if anyone watches What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
it's on Binge. It was a movie. Now it's a series on Binge. And one of the vampires, this is a vampire, they're all vampires, and one of the vampires is a non-conventional vampire. He's an energy vampire, so he just kind of sucks, like he just bores the crap out of people, and just like people, like even vampires are scared of him. And so I don't think that's a documentary, even though it's sort of mockumentary, but it definitely feels like a real, like we've got, you know, those people in your life that just feel like Colin Robinson, feel like the guy that is just draining your energy. We've all had that experience and possibly even been that person sometimes. And so the inverse is also true.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. You can. I would definitely recommend people check out that show. great suggestion, Keegan. I'm going to throw over to Alan now. Alan, what was your question? And tell us a bit about why you chose it.
Yeah, Keegan, I'm curious on the mindset of teamership, where a lot of us have been taught to work in silos. And like, I love that whips, hips and tips, where I've been taught whips, and that's where a lot of my mindset's around. I'm curious how the mindset has changed to become, I guess, a part of teamership?
Great question, Alan. I think that there's a real, it comes down to that shift between sort of a lot of those processes that we're talking about have come from production, where more time, more effort means we get a better outcome on the other side. So like if we just go harder and faster, we will get something better at the other end. And, like if you're building a house, and if you're actually, you've got a process and it's just actually about, we just need to get more frames built, more bricks laid, whatever it is, then potentially that's the case, right? Just going harder on that stuff. A lot of the work now is that we're doing is not just that. It's not sort of linear between more, go harder and faster, better outcome. That's not always what happens. And so people are sort of going, actually, what is it? What is the thing that we can do collectively better than we can separately? And that means we have to tap into the collective capabilities and intelligence of people. And that means that we actually need to understand, and we need to have people willing to contribute in this environment. And we need to understand what each other can offer, and we need to be able to kind of help all, and all of that is mediated by relationships, right? Like, so each of us will choose how vulnerable we are, how much we contribute, how prepared we are to take risks based on the relationships that we have with our leader, with our team member, with our colleagues, with our supplier. Like, we, all of that is kind of mediated by that. And so leaders who are sort of appreciating, well, actually, that's what I want. I want people to really make their best contribution. Then they go, okay, well, how do I make, like, I can't guarantee it. I can't, but how do I make it more likely for that to happen? And there's that kind of shift where people go, okay, kind of need to understand my people a little bit more, or help them open up these channels, or there's a whole range, there's infinite ways to do it, but it's this shift between. And I kind of touched on it a little bit before. It's like, okay, so like leading resources versus leading humans, right? Like, I'm like, if I'm leading humans, like we're fascinating beings, but we're not repeatable, like we don't know exactly what we're going to do. And so you kind of have to sit in there really differently. And so when all of our interactions become about transactional things, it makes us feel like resourcey. And when we have some of those other interactions, it feels a bit more like I can contribute a bit more broadly and in different ways. And I can share with you, like, oh, I'm really concerned about this, or I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed now, or I'm really excited about this, and I'm energized about that. I can share all of those things that I may not otherwise, if I just think that my job is to just turn up and do what you say. You're my boss. I'll just do what I say. And like, there's kind of different, those mindsets are really different. And I think the difference then in terms of performance kind of goes between the difference between doing enough to not get fired and me trying to do my best work. And the gap between those two things can be quite massive, right? Like, doing enough to just not stay out of trouble versus making my best possible contribution is huge. And again, I reckon a lot of that is mediated on the relationships that people have.
It is, that idea of getting to know one another and, doing the things that we enjoy and maybe things we don't enjoy, someone else loves doing those, and,
Completely, yeah. It's like, oh, you like that stuff? Oh, great. I can give you heaps of that.
<It's> like, absolutely.
Yeah. You don't like doing that? I'd love to do more of that, yeah.
Yeah, that's win-win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, thanks. Exactly. Yeah, great. No, no worries.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that 100%, totally. And great question, great answer, Keegan. I might throw to John now. John, what was your question? And tell us a bit about why you chose it as well.
Hey, Keegan. I guess like you, I've been in sporting teams for most of my life, all my life. But within all of that, and whether it's a work relationship or workplace or a team sport, you've got to deal with people and their personalities and the egos and everything that goes with it. How do you manage that? What are some strategies to allow people not only to manage the individuals and their personalities or their egos, but also to manage, you know, the safety and the vulnerability for people so that they can contribute?
Great question, right? And we keep on coming back to this, like people are just so interesting, aren't they? Like, and fascinating. We never know exactly like what we're going to do, let alone what someone else is going to do and how someone else is going to respond and all that sort of thing. And so I think that one of the things that I've been doing a bit of work with people around is like, what do you care about? Like, what are your values? Like, how can we frame this in a way that, if I'm framing this in a way that I think you've got an ego, or no, not you, but you know, I think someone has an ego about this, potentially a more useful way could be like, oh, they care about, like, it's really important to them, status is really important to them, or achievements are really important to them, or whatever that is. Whether that's true or not, who knows? Like, there's research that suggests that, you know, in senior leadership, there's a disproportionate level of narcissism. So, like, you know, it's quite possible that, you know, you're dealing with some pretty rampant egos, right, at various points. But it may be just useful to go, okay, this is what this person cares about. This is what they are valuing. And then how do we allow that, or consider that in the way that we frame the work that we do with them, so that everyone can get stuff out of it that they value without feeling like they have to be kind of like, but without diminishing their own thing. Like, you know, don't feel like you have to, well, this person cares about status or whatever, therefore I just have to, if it's important to you, then, well, it's important to me as well. How do we have those explicit conversations around that? That again depends on the, you know, that is with a degree of functionality in the relationship. If the relationship is dysfunctional, which it could be, if there's these really strong power plays, there's, you know, it's being aware of those dynamics. And when I talk to, I stole this from somewhere and I don't know where, but like great teams pay attention to the dynamics and not just the mechanics. So again, you know, this is like, when those dynamics are at play, like, okay, well, that's going to limit our capability here, right? Like, so the fact actually is that everyone's trying to take credit and no one wants to take responsibility when things don't go well. That's going to limit our capability. Like, that is just going to, that's just, okay, if that's our pattern, then we're not going to take risks. We're not going to X, Y, Z. We're not going to make our best contribution. And so for an individual, I think it's generally one of my favorite things to say in a workshop is like, it's really hard to yell at someone to relax. I have tried that many times with my daughter. It's like, it's just so difficult. And so what I think is like your best bet is to kind of role model what you think are some of the useful behaviors in that team. And you can't make anyone, I don't know any way to make anyone do anything. And so I can just make it more likely. And the whole thing around framing it through values is to make it so I don't feel like this is a draining experience. It's helping me make sense of it. Whether it's true or not, you know, who knows? But when you're managing, and, you know, you would have had this experience, I'm sure, John, you know, dealing with, you know, in sporting environments or in any number of environments, you're dealing with people who have got those egos and that really big sense of self-importance. It can be like, they're almost like, they almost like drag you into their orbit and get kind of sucked into that. And so the values frame is for me to not get sucked into that. It's like, okay, they care about that. Here's what I care about. Here's what I think is useful. And here's what I'm going to do. And I can't change their behavior. They might over time, or others may see their behavior for what it is over time, but I'm going to do the stuff that I think is useful and that I value. Comes back to the things that I think is useful and important. Let me do that. And then we'll see from there. I think often so many of us try and change that person that is hard to work with, and it's It's like I haven't seen it work very often.
Yeah. No. Okay. Then yeah, I like the idea. Yeah, I like the idea of what do you care about, or working out what they care about. Whether you have that explicit conversation, that's a different story. But trying to balance out. And my immediate thoughts were, you know, the Blindside movie with Sandra Bullock, and the big guy goes to the training and he's not blocking, and she's aware that family is, you know, very valuable to him. So she goes over and has a talk to him and says, "This, he's your family. You protect him." And that sort of turns things around for him. You know, it's that, what do you care about?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's a great example. You know, it's the same activity, but putting different meaning on it, looking at it through a different lens, completely changes the way that you interact with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I like that. Thank you.
No, cool. Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, love that. Thanks so much for that, Keegan. I might throw it to Graham now. Graham, what was your question? And tell us a bit about why you chose it as well.
I think I want to change my question to Keegan. What colour should John paint his house?
Well, this is the multi-million-dollar question, I suspect.
Yes, perhaps, it is.
Perhaps. Well, I don't know that we have that much time. So I was I love this idea of teamership, and a lot of the work that Danette and I have done with individuals, teams, organisations in the last probably 20 years has been trying to help people shift the way they perceive their role and their responsibility in an organisation. And we still use a lot of labels around leadership teams. I was having a conversation with a client yesterday, and they're talking about the leadership team, and in a lot of organisations, that's typically the exec level. But if you're not part of the leadership team, then you don't need to be a leader. So I was just curious of your thoughts on how does coming into the work environment, thinking I'm just part of a team, therefore, and I'm not the team leader, I'm not the manager, supervisor, and I'm not part of the leadership team, so I don't really need to show up as a leader. Because for me, leadership is a lot more about attitude than it is position, title, authority, power, etc. So just, curious about your thoughts on, is it important from your perspective to get people to start thinking about how they could show up as a leader, because that's one way of showing up as the best version of yourself so you can contribute better to your team?
I reckon we are in very strong agreement here, Graham. I think one of the things that holds people back is this idea of a team member is sort of just a team member, and I just sort of, you know, do what I'm told. I follow my instructions. I'm a, you know, that kind of the assumption is that the person in charge knows all the answers and knows exactly how to do stuff, and you just do it. An example of this, I'm the program director at the Melbourne Business School New Leader Development Program. And was down there a couple of months ago, and it was Melbourne, and it bucketed down in the morning, and then it was fine by morning tea. And so by the time morning tea was over, I was walking back to the room, and they were setting up for a lunch outside. This was like half an hour after, is like just absolutely poured down. And I said to the guy setting up, I was like, what's the forecast like? He's like, is this, you're going to be okay for lunch? He's like, I don't know. Didn't ask those questions. Just setting it up. I was like, like maybe not explicitly, but a lot of people just sort of take that kind of approach. Whereas I think that if you feel like your role is to contribute to the team's performance, you may ask, hey, look, it's just bucketed down half an hour ago. Do you think we might move this inside like we did a couple of days ago? Or should we at least check, like, he would at least know the forecast, say, oh, we've checked this and all this kind of thing. And that shifts to having some skin in the game for the collective outcome is really important and really valuable. And then shifts the way that people turn up. Like, I think that actually teamership is a form of leadership. It's a form of leadership. It's a form not needing, and you know, to your point, I don't think that leadership requires hierarchical power or anything like that. And so sometimes that leadership is setting the direction. Sometimes it is encouraging other people. Sometimes it is stepping back so that other people can do the thing that they're excellent at, like we were talking about before. Like it's really dynamic. There's things changing all the time. But if you don't think that it's your role to do any of those, I think you're not having as good a time. For starters, like you're not feeling like, oh, I've done everything I could here. Like I've just kind of ticked a box, and that's not, you know, that's really exciting for people. And your team's not getting the best possible outcome either. And so, I'm in firm agreement with you around this idea of people being able to not feel like they need a title for this. To take on some leadership responsibilities.
Nice, thank you. And can I just like really quickly follow up? Yeah. Sorry, Jez. What are your thoughts on where having a sense of meaning or purpose around the work you do? I mean, from your perspective, how does that contribute to our ability to show up as a leader?
Yeah, I think this is almost tying back into the conversation I was having with John, right? So at a personal level, it's like if you are connected to the work you're doing, if you're seeing it as important, and Google stuff around Project Aristotle said, you know, that meaning in teams is a big factor. Yeah, everyone remembers psychological safety, but one of the others was meaning, that, you know, these are the teams that do really well, and that works at a team level, but also individually. If it feels like the work that you are doing has something, is important to you, and you can place the meaning on it. It might be the outcome of the work that you're doing. It might be the stuff that you're learning. So again, my mate who's doing a PhD he's around goal setting, talks to me a lot around the value of not outcome goals, but learning goals. So actually, you know, so if you've got a goal of learning, then that can be the meaning that you're placing on the work that you're doing. And so that could be the meaning that you're placing on this, and lining that up with the meaning of the work that your team's doing, we can, you know, it makes a big, big difference, that context, rather than it just happening in it as a vacuum. And it makes it more likely that you do your best work, right? As opposed to, well, just doing this because I gotta.
Because I get paid.
I think that, and within that, like part of it is, I can make up the meaning, you know, I can make this mean what I want it to mean to me. And I think great team members do that. They find stuff that matters to them.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Graham. Great questions, both of you.
Yeah, awesome. I might just do one more question and then we'll do a wrap up. And I might throw to Margs, which I think is just a good question for people that might be leading remote teams and want to involve this. What are some key teamership skill sets needed for remote offices?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Obviously, it has come up more and more over the last few years. And I think the other interesting thing, if I can, jump on Mark's question there, is the hybrid bit as well. That hybrid bit, and all of these kind of will be applicable to both remote and hybrid. In many ways, fully remote is easier than hybrid in terms of for the team dynamics. And so when you're hybrid, you've got to be careful that it doesn't feel like hub and spoke kind of stuff, where the people who are in the office are the real team and the other people are just kind of the dial in, making sure your dynamics feel like you are one team. I think it's really important. So the skill sets are having time away from task. I think having time away from task, I did some research as part of my master's, and one of the things that kept on coming up was I had to academify the question, but basically the question was, what does a great team member do? What do they do? And so Patrick Lencioni's got, the guy of Five Dysfunctions of a Team, has a great book around an ideal team player. Talks of, the fable stuff and got all, it talks about being humble, hungry, and having people smarts. Cool. What do they do? And so I was asking those questions in both elite sport and in business settings, thinking of the greatest team member you've had, what do they do? And one of the, there were some things around listening, so that they're doing listening. So if you're remote, find really good ways to listen and to feel connected to people. And so whether that's like as we are now on video, whether it is phone calls, but listening is almost with anything, with people, like just listen, start there with listening. That was one of them. Another one was to give and receive feedback really well. And the way that I've learned over time, and this came from one of the interviewees, was actually seeking and receiving feedback as your primary method of opening up that feedback channel. And so learning to ask for feedback, learning to receive it without being defensive, kind of seems to give people a better permission to then give feedback. So if I'm, again, I'm willing to ask for, I'm willing to receive feedback, there's that. And then just time away from task as well was the other one. One of the other key ones is this, you know, you're non-transactional, and especially when you're remote, it's very easy for a lot of your interactions to be task driven. And so having some of those other ways, like you have done here, like with the conversation up front, it can be incorporated into your regular cadence, or you can have separate ways of doing it. And that's also so really, really helpful. As an aside, and this is more difficult to do remotely, but I think it's worth mentioning, in that research, that was 2018, that research, so it was pre-pandemic. The number of times that food and drink came up as things was just ridiculous. And every time since, when I've run workshops around this, food and drink keep coming up around it. So that's one thing that is, if you're hybrid, and or if you've got a team, is like when you get people together, use the food and drink. And that's how we have been doing stuff. That's how we've been connecting for ages, right? As people, right? Use food and drink. And see if you can do things remotely with food and drink, or maybe you don't need to. I know some people do the whole, you get a coffee, I'll get a coffee, we'll go for a walk and we'll talk at the same time, which can work. But that's just something that came up as I was thinking about that research idea. I was like, oh yeah, that always comes up, food and drink.
Love it. That's a good tip always, I think. And I think I'll probably grab some lunch after this as well. You've just reminded me there, Keegan. That's it, exactly. Thanks so much for the conversation today. We're definitely going to have you back on because we've got even more questions. But let's jump around the team and just get some final thoughts from people. So I might start with you, John. Any final thoughts you had on today's conversation?
Thanks, Keegan, for all of that. I found it really interesting. And a couple of takeaways for me is that great teams pay attention to dynamics. And I thought that was, it's about how the interaction's going and what's going on. And what is the meaning of the work that I'm doing? And to me, that takes me back to the Simon Sinek TED talk of around why. You know, everyone knows what they do or how they do it, but they don't always understand the why. And for me, needing to look at that what's the meaning of the work I'm doing, I guess, is now important.
Sweet.
Love it. Thanks, John. I might throw to you, Danette. Danette, did you have any final thoughts on today's conversation with Keegan?
Yeah, love the whole conversation. And I love that bit where you talked about when we were talking about structure and behaviour is a function of the person and the environment, and how we often, as you said, under-index the environment, which can have a massive impact, and over-index the person. So, and I loved your tips around that. So, yeah, fabulous conversation. I totally agree with Jez. We're going to get you back and have even more conversations. And don't forget to share your book before we finish too, Keegan, because I know Keegan's got a book.
Yeah, we'll get to where people can find out more about you, Keegan. So for those listening, get ready. There's going to be a book coming. Very exciting. Al, I'll throw to you. Any final thoughts you had on today's conversation?
Yeah, thank you so much, Keegan, for that idea of the whips, hips and tips, where I can say I've got the whips down pat and now I've got a better area to focus on. And my analogy is, you know, I do a lot of work with machines at harvest time in the paddock, and I know those machines inside out. I don't know the drivers. And yeah, getting to know those drivers, what they enjoy and what they don't enjoy, will make a big difference come this harvest.
I love that.
Yeah. Love that as well. Yeah. Thanks for that, Al. I'll throw to you, Graham. Any final thoughts on today's conversation?
So many thoughts. It's been brilliant, Keegan. So thank you. The cricket analogy, everybody has the opportunity to contribute to the team outcome. Brilliant. I'd never thought of it that way. It took me back to my very brief stint as a cricketer when I was in my preteens. And so thanks for bringing up all of those painful memories. The less said, the better, I think.
They only used rocks back then, didn't they? They didn't have balls. Sorry? They only used rocks. They didn't have balls back then, did they?
Thanks,
they invented
John.
The whip? Yeah, okay.
Thank you. So I love that, the idea of being mindful or being careful of not thinking about others or seeing others as resources. And I was tempted to go down the talent path, but we haven't got time for that. It's one of my pet peeves. I don't understand how calling a human being talent is in any way respectful of the whole package, but story for another day. Food and drink. Also, just thinking about the pandemic, like mid-COVID, because we've got three of our kids in Melbourne, and we were having Saturday evening Zoom catch-ups because we also got kids in Canberra, just to sort of stay connected through all of that, which also reminded me of the food thing. I don't know whether you've experienced the world's hottest corn chips.
No.
And if you haven't, you should, maybe just once. have medical assistance close by.
Speaking of Netflix, as we were earlier, I watched the chili eating contest, and even I couldn't, I was struggling to even watch people eat hot chilies. World's hottest corn chips. Wow.
World's, yes. They're a relatively small pack. There is a very long list of warnings on this. Seriously. Crazy stuff. No, look, it's been brilliant. I love the work they're doing. So thank you so much for what you are doing. Thanks for being on today. It's been fantastic. We definitely do need to get you back.
I've loved the conversation.
If you like.
Yeah, I've absolutely loved this conversation. And you know, the questions have been so great and so insightful. And that, I think, is a big part of any good conversation. And so I think it's a really, really good example, right? So this wouldn't have been as good a conversation if there weren't as good questions. And so we've all contributed to this.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Cheers. Yeah, awesome. And Keegan, any final thoughts you have on teamership or today's conversation?
Well, I jumped the gun there. I think it's been great because of the thoughtfulness and the approach that your team has brought into it. I think some really great and insightful questions to be able to help me think about some teamship things in ways that I hadn't previously thought about it, which is excellent. You know, that's the whole idea of working together with people, that we get stuff out of our collective intelligence that we couldn't do separately. And so I've really loved that. And I think you've, as I said before, you are demonstrating many of the things that I would hope that is happening in lots of teams, but sadly are not, which because people don't think of them. A lot of these things are not because people are choosing to not do them. They're not sort of necessarily front of mind for people. And so any way to kind of shift it and help it to be front of mind. And, you know, the way that you incorporated those HIPS questions, as I would call them at the start, doesn't take a lot of time, but getting into that pattern makes a big difference over time. I think those kinds of things. And so I think that as well for people who are listening, you know, just being able to not try, you know, you don't have to change everything, but just doing little things consistently can make a big difference to the way that you turn up across all of your teams. If you were 1%, if everyone listening to this was 1% better at being a team member in all of the teams that they're in, like, we've got heaps of teams that have got a lot better all of a sudden. And so, yeah, we don't have to be 10 times better. It just needs a little bit. But yeah, I think that's kind of, that's a rambly final thought, but there you go.
No, I 100% agree with it as well. And I hope people are taking away some of the great lessons from this. So many good lessons. I've taken heaps of notes as well. So thank you, Keegan. Now, before we go, where can people, if they've listened to this conversation, they've loved it, where can they find you?
You can find me. I have a unique name, so you can find me. I'm easy to find on LinkedIn and Googleified. But a great place for this conversation is teamership.com.au, and that's the book's website. And if you go to /resources on that, you have to put in your email address, but you get a whole a discussion guide and a reflection guide. So a reflection guide for yourself, have a think about how you might be able to turn up better, and then discussion guide for any of the teams that you're in to try and sort of support some of the, you know, conversations that can help your team work a little bit better as well. So that's a good place to start.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, all those links are going to be in the description, and as well as a link to the book, which I would highly recommend people check out for more info on this. Keegan, thank you so much for being on the ML podcast. We've loved it. To the team, thank you all for being on the podcast. Great questions, great conversation. And everybody listening at home, have a magical week.